left off yesterday, we discussed the machlokes and rishonim. What our take is about toldos in other areas of halacha. So everybody agrees that there are toldos in Hilchos Shabbos, and the Mishnah and the Gemara and Bava Kamma seems to indicate there are toldos in other areas of halacha as well. That was in fact the machlokes and the rishonim. So if we take a look at every other marmakomos, let's take just a quick look again. If we take a look at the second of the marmakomos, so we'll see that marikat that we mentioned yesterday. So the second of the Marmakomos is from Gubetz, quotes Tamil Rebbe. So my shtrother told the Shabbos, Yofidu let me cry. How come when it comes to told us at Hilchos Shabbos, we insist on deriving them from a pasuk? We perch abona darshina heina avos mehina told us all drasha to explain the principle of told us. Whereas we told us to the Zikin, lo yofidu me cry. When it comes to told us of the Zikin, there are no pasukim. Alim is svar like one mishpais. It's just obvious. It's logical. So v'nir the marikats. Ilav kra have matinan toldos midinismicha parsha Shabbos of leches haMishkan. That if not for the gzeras hakosov in Shabbos, I would have thought that toldos are excluded in Shabbos because after all, in Shabbos everything revolves around Mishkan. Ki heichdim matinan shamalachas lavachashiv. The same way that if it doesn't meet the criteria of Mishkan, it's not going to be chayav in Shabbos. So according to Marikatz, as we mentioned yesterday, the starting point in Kol HaTorah Kula is that there are toldos. Just because the Torah singles out and spells out a specific action that is lav dafka, that action, but rather it's the principle behind that action that's important. And if I can derive another type of subcategory, that would be perfectly okay. In Hilchos Shabbos, I would have hesitated. In Hilchos Shabbos, I would have thought maybe not. Comes the post and say, even in Hilchos Shabbos, there are toldos. This is in stark contrast to Tosos. If we take a look at the fifth of the Ramakomos, we'll just catch ourselves up to where we were yesterday, where the Gemara was discussing the similarities between shearing sheep for Shabbos and shearing sheep for Bechor. Tosos asked, Tema, Mal Maksha, what does the Gemara compare the two? Alpha Gadol in Bechor lo Mechaya b'mishim lo Sagos. Even though a particular action is not called lo sagos, it's not called actual shearing, but in Shabbos, ish l'chayim, b'shem tolim d'gozes. Whereas in Shabbos, we have a principle of toldos, clearly implying that in Bechor, as an example of Kol HaTorah Kula, there wouldn't be the application of toldos. So we basically just took us 2 minutes from the chsav to catch up what we spoke about yesterday. So we have machlekes and rishonim, toldos in Bechor is against marikatz in Bava Kamma. What's our take on toldos in other areas of halacha? So now let's go back to the Gemara that we just started at the end of the show yesterday, the pivotal Gemara at the beginning of Maseches Ma'akatan, talking about Shemitah, and see how this is going to play out in terms of this machlokes. So the Gemara begins in the sixth of the Ma'akamos, commenting on the Mishnah, the very first Mishnah in Ma'akatan. Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah. Mashkin beis ashlochin b'moda b'shvias. The Mishnah tells us that we can water our field if it needs to be irrigated. We're allowed to irrigate our fields, both on Chol HaMoed as well as during Shemitah. So Bishlam HaMoed, so I understand Moed is not so terrible. Bishum Tirchu B'chum Seder Shal Rabbanan. Generally speaking, on Chol HaMoed, we're supposed to avoid different types of malachas that have a tirchu, that have some kind of an extra exertion to them. But this is a Dover Oved, it's B'chum Seder, and we all know that a Dover Oved is permissible. El HaShviyas, but when it comes to Shemitah, we have a big problem. Why? Because there happens to be a machlokes in the Gemara as to why Mashke as Azroim is a problem on which malacha really is it on Shabbos or Yom Tov or for Shemitah for that matter. El Shviyas, Bein Lamadiyah Mishum Zareya, Bein Lamadiyah Mishum Choresh. Whether you think that watering fields is including the malacha of Zareya of planting, because it's enhancing the planting, or whether you think it's part of Choresh because it's softening the soil, it's making the soil better to plant with, no matter which way you slice it, at the end of the day, the Gemara concludes that actually they're both true. Zuriyah v'charisha b'shvias b'shari. You're not allowed to plant in Shemitah, you're not allowed to plow in Shemitah. So no matter what you think the malacha of Mashke Zeroim is, it should be a problem in terms of Hilchos Shemitah. So yesterday we mentioned Abaye's answer to the question, that you're right, that if Shemitah would be deraisa, it would in fact be prohibited to irrigate your field. But Shemitah b'zman hazeh is on a midrabbanan. But we're not going to focus on that answer. We're going to skip a little bit to Rav Amar. So it's the fourth line of that Marmakom number six, the very end of the line. Rav Amar. This is really what we pick up on. Rav Amar. Afilu tebe rabbanan. Even if you say that our Mishnah follows the view of the rabbanan are the ones who say that Shemitah is the araisa b'zman hazeh, we could still explain why watering fields is permissible. Why is that? Avos aser rachamana. Toldos lo aser rachamana. That the only things that are prohibited during Shemitah are avos. Now, we know avos means things that are written explicitly, mamish, black and white, ABC, in the Chumash itself. anything that we derive, we compare, it looks like it's the same, it sounds like it's the same intent, all those kinds of things fall into the category of toldos. And toldos are not a problem in Shemitah. That's the famous statement of Rava, avos serachamana, toldos serachamana, that in the area of Shemitah, only avos are off limits, toldos are permissible. How did Rava know this to be true? Based on the following drasha, dechziv, uvashana shviyis, shabbat shabbason yel oretz, sarchol lo sizra, and v'chaim v'chol lo sizmar. The end of the pasuk. So asks Rava the following question, why does the Torah say, don't plant, and then a second later, turn around and say, don't prune? Nichtei zemira b'chal zariah. If the Torah would have just simply said, don't plant, I would have known all on my own that I'm not allowed to prune. Why? I would have said logically. What's the goal of planting? To make something grow. What's the goal of pruning? To make something grow. So I could have figured it out on my own. So why did the Torah have to repeat it? So we're going to skip the next few words. It's about ketzira. It's not relevant for us. Why does the Torah go out of its way to spell out explicitly and not allowed to prune? To teach me a limitation, lemeimer, to teach me. The ahani toldos b'chayev, achronai selo b'chayev. It's as if the Torah is drawing our attention and saying, you think that you could include anything and everything from Zaria? Not true. There are no such thing as toldos. Toldos don't exist in Maseches Shviyas and Ruchos Shviyas. And the reason why the Torah goes out of its way to prohibit Zemira, which really is superfluous, I could have figured it out on my own, is to highlight the fact that only Zemira is Aser. Zemira is the only told around that's Aser, because the Torah says it explicitly, so it basically takes on the life of an Av. But if not for the fact that it was written explicitly in the Chumash, I could not have derived toldos. So that's the conclusion of the Gemara. That's actually how we pass in Halacha. That in Shemitah, the only things that are prohibited in HaTorah are only the Avos, and there are only Avos that are mentioned explicitly in the Chumash. You're not allowed to plant, you're not allowed to... plowing is a different process, you're not allowed to plant, you're not allowed to prune. That's it. All other melechas akarka and Shemitah are only prohibited mid Rabbanan. There are a lot of other things you're not allowed to do in Shemitah. You're not allowed to fertilize, other kinds of things. Those are all mid Rabbanan, but the only Isurim deraisa are those which are written explicitly in the Chumash. So now let's analyze this Gemara for a moment. The Gemara says that in Hilcha Shemitah, there's a gezeiras akosov that toldos are excluded, implying that if not for this gezeiras akosov, the starting point would have been toldos would have been included. I need a pasuk to bend over backwards to tell me, by the way, toldos are okay. Only zemira is aser, implying that all other toldos are all right. If not for that pasuk, so then logic would have dictated there are toldos. Wait a second, hold the phone. Logic would have dictated there are toldos. We have a machlekes that we showed him. Do toldos exist in other areas of halacha? So now tables are a turn. Now we have to go back to the Machlokes that tells us and the Shita Mekubetz, Marikatz, and analyze this. What do you mean that toldos would have been usher in Kol HaTorah Kula if not for the special pasuk? So Bishlam, according to the Marikatz, that toldos always follow avos. Whenever avos are usher, toldos are usher. I don't need pesukim for that. Anybody can figure that on their own. Shabbos is the quirk. But in Kol HaTorah Kula, you can figure it out on your own. So then the Gemara reads like a charm. But according to Tosfos, toldos are never usher. According to Tosfos, toldos is a limited in the box. One small, tiny area of halacha that toldos are prohibited. And that's Hilchos Shabbos. No other area of halacha. So what's the Gemara talking about? Why does the Gemara need a pasuk to bend over backwards to tell you there are no toldos in Shemitah? Why would I have dreamt in a million years that there are toldos in Shemitah? So how do you address the sugya according to Tosfos? So one could answer this kasha. I guess we could almost break it down to two different answers. One we can call, for lack of a better term, almost acute teretz, and one probably more correct, more emistic teretz. So we'll present the cute teretz at first. So the cute teretz presupposes that Shemitah and Shabbos are very, very close to one another. Shemitah and Shabbos are so close to one another that almost the halachas carry over one to another. What do I mean by that? Well, the Torah does say Shabbos l'Hashem. The Torah does declare Shemitah to be a Shabbos. The cute part of the story involves the previous day, the first part of it, Rosh Hashiva, of Kahaneman, Tzadach Livracha. And the way the story goes, when he arrived in Eretz Yisrael, originally from Panovich in Europe, when he arrived in Eretz Yisrael, he was so excited during the Shemitah year, apparently he would wish good Shabbos to all of the trees all 7 days a week. On Tuesday, he would say, wishing good Shabbos to the trees. So if you take that story to its utmost lumdish conclusion, so then maybe Shemitah is governed by the rules of Shabbos. So it goes back already. Two Shemitahs ago, I had the opportunity to take a group of Bachurim from Yeshiva to Eretz Yisrael for a week during the Shemitah year. So we spent a week learning some of the sugyas in Shemitah. Half the day we spent in the Beis Medrash in Gros, just mamish learning through the sugyas. And the other half we went out to the fields, Pshutei Kemashmo. We went to the Esrog orchards, we went out to the greenhouses, and we went out to the kibbutzim that were observing Shemitah and all kind of different nuances of Shemitah to see exactly what was going on. So remember one of the trips that we went out to the Esrog orchards. So there was this older gentleman who was an Esrog grower. He was the kind of guy who had been growing a shrug up since the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. You know, this was his babies. I mean, he was very excited. And he was talking to us and showing us why the Rabbanim told him he's allowed to do this and he's not allowed to do this. Every single nuance on his tree, what he's allowed to do in Shemitah, not allowed to do everything. So I was so taken aback. I was so, you know, inspired by this. By this fellow, Yaakov was his name. Yaakov, the Esrog grower. So I remember I told the Bachim afterwards, you know, after he finished his whole presentation to us, he said, you know, you sit down to a Shabbos meal. What's a Shabbos meal without Zmiris? I said, here we're watching Shabbos Lashem. I told him about the story about the Parvish Rosh Hashiva. He said, Shabbos Lashem, we're not going to sing. We have to sing some kind of a song. So we said, what should we sing? Yom Zimachubin. So Baruch Kalal, nothing fit. So we thought, we'll sing Yis Mechumachus Chashomer Shabbos. That's a very generic Shomer Shabbos. But that was good enough. So believe it or not, we danced. 20 boys and this Esrog March grower dancing around the paradise, around the orchard, singing on a Tuesday afternoon, Yis Mechumachus Chashomer Shabbos. So if you really believe in that story, I mean, the story's true. I'm saying, if you believe in the lumpness of the story, that Shemitah and Shabbos go hand in hand, then you can for a little bit, then you can give a nice quasi-cute answer to the kasha. But I think on the more lumpness, world, I think that perhaps the more correct answer to the question is as follows. The Gemara says that in Hilchos Shemitah, if the Torah would have said Zoreah, I would have immediately known Zomer. I wouldn't have had any questions. Zomer would have gone hand in hand with Zoreah. And it's true, the Gemara did use a lashon of toldos, but if you remember back to already before Yom Tov, we mentioned there was a big machlekes in Rishonim. What is the relationship between Zoreah and Zomer? It's a very, very tricky kind of a relationship, because on the one hand, the intent is the same. I'm Zoreah, I put a seed into the ground, and the purpose of that is to make it grow. Zomer is an identical intention. I'm pruning the tree to make the tree grow better. But the problem is, it's a radically different action. Zoreah is putting in, and Zomer is taking out. And the end of the day, the accomplishment is the same. At the end of the day, something is growing more efficiently, but in a very, very different realm of what's happening in terms of literally the facts on the ground. So if you remember back a couple of weeks ago, there was Machlekes and Rishon between Rashi and the Rambam. What exactly is that halachic relationship between Zomer and Zoreah? So Rashi said, oh, it's just a tolda, just a plain and simple tolda, no more than a tolda. And the Rambam said, no, it's not a tolda, it's an av. It's what we call a me'eim alach achas. It's inyan echad. It's a ko'av. Remember, we spoke about this before Yom Tov. We spoke about there are toldos, and then there are ko'avos. This is not one, I don't know how to describe it, one A, B, C, D, E. This is one, it's the same thing. Zoreah is mamashin av, says the Rambam, and Zomer is mamashin av. It's not the absolute literal av, because it doesn't say it in the Chumash, it says Zoreah, but according to the Rambam, it's not a real tolda. So one can argue, that's how some of the Rishonim read this Gemara. When the Gemara is talking about subcategories being Osir and Shemitah, and the Gemara's starting point is, well, if it's a tolda, quote unquote, it's Osir and Shemitah, if not for a pasuk, the Gemara doesn't really mean tolda. The Gemara means something that's not explicit in the Chumash, but it's a ko'av. Ko'avus applying kol Torah kula. Ko'avus is a pasuk to svara. So it comes out that there's a brisket Torah. There are different kinds of toldos. A little bit of a throwback to what we mentioned yesterday. There are different degrees of toldos. There are real official toldos, and according to Tosfos, toldos do not appear outside of Hilchos Shabbos. But then there's something else that's called the ko'av, and a ko'av does appear in all areas of halacha and does appear in Hilchos Shviyos, if not for the gzeiros hakasav that not. So it comes out a strange thing. When all the dust settles, Shemitah in effect, does not follow the patterns of Shabbos. When all the dust settles, Shemitah is different. That Avos Asur Rachamana, Toldos Lo Asur Rachamana. But the starting point, the Havamina, that Shemitah would have had Toldos, according to some Rishonim, it doesn't mean literal Toldos. It means these Ko-Avos, which are a lower level form of Toldos. So a Ko-Panim, we took a little bit of an aside. I mean, a lower level form of Toldos. So again, so we took a little bit of a detour in terms of beginning to understand Avos and Toldos out of Nezikin proper, but now we have to get back to our sugya. We have to get back to Toldos in Bava Kamma, because that's really the essence of our sugya. So let's go back to the very, very first of the Marmei Kamos and see how everything we've been speaking about now is going to potentially impact what we're up to now. So the Gemara had made an observation that there are clearly Toldos, whatever that means, there are clearly Toldos in Ezekiel. The Mishnah says Arba Avos. The word Avos has the implication that it told us. The Gemara is about to spend the next two blots spelling out explicitly which Tolda is told of which Av. But the Gemara introduces the sugya by saying that when we speak about Toldos in Ezekiel, a Toldoseim Kayotse Behem, are the Toldos similar to the Avos, or are they not similar to the Avos? That's the Gemara's Shiloh. If you take a look back to the first of the Marmei Kamos, so the Gemara says, Hochamai, when it comes to Hilchos the Zikin, are the Toldos identical to the Avos or not? Hochamai, Amar Papa, Yesh Behen Kayotze Behen, V'yesh Behen Lav Kayotze Behen, some Toldos do carry over the Halachas of the Avos, and other Toldos do not carry over the Halachas of the Avos. So again, do Toldos exist? Absolutely. Are they identical to the Av? Says Rapapa, a very committal answer. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. It depends. And it's going to take the Gemara a long, long time to figure out, well, which are which. But we're nowhere near that conclusion. We want to know what's bothering the Gemara. What's the Gemara been talking about? What do those words mean? Toldosem kayotze ben? Olav Kayotze Bo. What's the suffix, whether something is Kayotze Bo or not Kayotze Bo? So there's a major machlokes in Rishonim. Rashi, we always say it's the downside of not having the Gemara in front of us. When I give the Marmei Kamos to the Bochim, so they always have the Gemara, so I never bother putting A in Rashi. It's just understood. Look up the Gemara. So I'll have to say the Rashi be out there. So on this sugya, Rashi says, what does it mean that Toldosem Kayotze Behem Olav Kayotze Behem? So Rashi is very simple. Are you chayef to pay or are you not chayef to pay? Those are the two tzadim in the suffix. So basically, what the tzadim and suffix are, is it a tolda, is it not a tolda? Is it ayichayev or ayipater? But the riff took four lines to explain what the shayla of the Gemara is. Why did it take the riff four lines? It's such an obvious shayla. Either yeah or no. Either you chayev to pay, you're not chayev to pay. So let's take a look at the seventh of the Marmei Kamos and take a look and see how the riff formulates the discussion of the Gemara. Midiktani Avos, he's summarizing the Gemara, the seventh of the Marmei Kamos. Midiktani Avos, Bechlal Dika Toldos. Toldosem Kayotze Behen Olo. That's the Lashna Gemara. Toldos, all like Avos or not. Perish. So just from the fact that the Rif has to say the word Perish, we already know we're in for something. I don't need to put any Perish for it. Either Chayav Apata, what's the Perish? Listen to the Rif says. Perish. Kevin de Kaimelon, the Nezek Shali Mamonahu, the Chatzi Nezek Knosahu. Says, first of all, the Rif's giving you now a grand tour of Bava Kamma. He's saying, we know that when you pay full damages, that's considered to be mammon. Mammon means that I'm paying commensurate with the loss. I break somebody's window, so the Beis Din sizes up, the window costs $500. Gotta pay $500. If that person smashes somebody's car, whatever the Beis Din says the value of the car is, that's what you have to pay. That's called mammon. The chatzi nezek kenasu. Whereas when you pay half damages, now you only pay half damages in very, very limited cases, assure that Gore, the first three times, only pays half damages. So if half damages happens to be a knas, it means it's not really what you damaged. You're paying it as a penalty, as a fine. And there are differences in halacha, and hopefully as the year goes on, we'll talk about some of those differences. So the Rif is already giving you a little bit of a shikloli about Bava Kamma. Some nezikin are mammon, some nezikin are knas. When a shor mu'ad means it's already gored more than three times, when it pays full damages, it pays from the property of the mazik, the person who caused the damage. Whereas tam, a shor tam, the first three times, pays half damages, but it only pays from the animal itself. Namely, if the animal is not worth half the damages, then the person who got damaged has to suffer the loss. So there are a lot of differences, lahalacha, between shortams and shamuads, and then there are multiple differences between boar and between eish. Boar has certain coolers to it, eish has certain coolers to it, shein v'regel, animals eating things, animal trampling, every area of mazik, every one of the avos has unique halachas to it. So some of them have unique halachas of paying chatzi nezek, some have unique halachas paying the full nezek, some have unique halachas, let's say shein v'regel. If an animal eats or tramples, it's potter if it's in Rishas Harabim. If it's walking in the street and eats up fruit, you don't have to pay. Or if I dig a pit and somebody's utensils get broken in the pit, I don't have to pay. I only have to pay for animals, not for utensils. Every area of halacha, every mazik, has its own unique rules to it, all derived from sukkim. So comes the riff, and now that he gave this whole introduction, says, but Ina Lameda, towards the end of the second line, we want to know, Hani told us to Hani Avos, Ika Yotze Behen Ninu, are they similar? The Chol Muad Vinayil told the delay Kavasei, if the Av is a Muad, then the Told is a Muad, Umishalam Nezik Shalman Aliyah, and you pay full damage from the property of the Mazik, the Tam told the delay Kavasei, Umishalam Chatzin Ezik Migufo, and if it's a Tam, then it carries over the coolers of Tam. Or maybe the Toldos are not the same as the Avos. So what in the world did the Rif mean? Why did the Rif give you this whirlwind tour of a comment telling you that Tam is different than Muad, and Chatzin Ezik is different than Ezik Shalem, and this Bor is different from it? Well, what do I need that for? If the Shail of the Suffolk is either Chayiv HaPotter, so the Shail is very simple, it's the self-explanatory, either Chayiv HaPotter. So the Brisker Rav, we'll have a chance hopefully next week to repart. Those who want to spend a lot of time on Shabbos can read on the back of the page. I put together half of the Brisker Rav to try to go through, but we'll get a little bit more from the Shabbos next week. So the Brisker Rav already was the first one to really observe this nuance of the Rif and say, wait a second, why is the Rif complicating the sugya? The sugya is so simple. Says the Brisker Rav, it is clear from the Rif the following. When the Gemara raises the question, a toldos like avos or not, what the Gemara does not mean is Rashi's pshat. The Gemara does not mean chayev apotter. Of course it's chayev. There's no question it's chayev. If it wouldn't be chayev, why are you calling it a toldo for? Of course it's chayev. That's not the shayla. The shayla of the Gemara is, now that we've ascertained that it's chayev, does it carry with it the unique halachas of the av? Or do we say no? It's chayev to pay, but it takes on its own life. You pay. You're not bound by the limitations of the Av. Let's say, Lamashal, if you have a Toldo of short Tam, it wouldn't necessarily pay Chatzin Nezek. It wouldn't necessarily be a Knas. Or if you have a Toldo of a short Muad, it wouldn't necessarily pay Nezek Sholem. It wouldn't necessarily pay Minaliyah. Well, let's carry it over to others. If you have a Toldo of Bor, it wouldn't necessarily be Potter on Kalim. Or if you have a Toldo of Shein Beregel, it wouldn't necessarily be Potter on Rishas Arabim. So says the Brisket Rav, Bidas Arif, from the fact that the Rif is introducing all the details of all the nuances of differences in Uchus Mazik and Bava Kama, what the Gemara is trying to highlight is, Chayef to pay, of course you Chayef to pay. That wasn't even enough for discussion. We want to know not if you're paying, we want to know how you're paying. We want to know, is your payment following the rules of the avos, or is there reason to believe that your payment is not following the avos?
Are we saying even
l'chumra? It's not clear. It's not, we don't know what the suffix is even. But one thing we do know, it's not a yes or no. It's yes is a definite yes. And now it's asking the next question, yes, okay, but how are you paying? Are you carrying over the din of the avos? So the Brisker Rav says it's clear from the Rif, that's what the Rif is driving at, unlike Rashi's Pshat. However, this becomes very, very difficult conceptually, because we almost have what we call a Meman of Shach on the Rif. It seems to be internally contradictory. If you're telling me it's a Tolda, so what are you really telling me? You're telling me, let's say, Lamosh, I have a case of Bor. So the actual Av of Bor is, I go to the street and dig a hole. That's Kiftach Ish Bor, that's the Bor I'm going to tell you. Then you tell me there's a told. The told is, I drop a banana peel on the floor, somebody slips on it. So you're telling me an av it's not, but a told it is. So wait a second, but where did that come from? How did you know that there's a parish of banana peels on the floor? Chumash doesn't say anything about it. Obviously you knew it from Bor. Obviously you derived it from Bor. So wait a second, if you derived it from Bor, how is it going to be any different than Bor? How in the world can you tell me that, no, it's part of Bor, but guess what? The details of Bor don't carry over. Let's say, Lamashal, Shein V'Regel. So the Torah describes an animal trampling on something with its feet. That's considered to be regel. So the Gemara says a little bit later on that even if the animal doesn't trample on it with its feet, but it does some other kind of damage in the process of moving, in the process of walking, that's also considered to be included in regel. It doesn't say in the Chumash. The Chumash says v'shilach. V'shilach means meshacher regel. It's a lashon of a regel. So the fact that we know that an animal that causes other kinds of damages in transit is chayav, the only source for that is the parasha of toldos of regel. So how can you turn around with a straight face and say, well, maybe the toldos are not like the others, maybe the details don't apply. If they don't apply, so then what you're in effect saying is that you had no right to learn it from in the first place. So that sign in the Gemara of toldos sam lafka yotzebem is very difficult. According to Rashi, the Gemara reads very smoothly. Either toldos do exist or they don't exist. Either chayav or potter, that's the whole shah in the Gemara. But according to the Rif, that of course toldos exist. Well, where do they come from? If they don't come from the office themselves, so then where did they come from? How could you have this new category of something that's chayav, but not governed, not bound by the limitations of the office properly? So this is clear fertile ground for a brisket Torah, because clearly what's going to happen, and we shouldn't be surprised, hopefully Mitchell will talk about it next week, is that obviously there are two halachas taking place. Obviously there are two dinim, which is of course classic brisk. There are two different halachas that are taking place, and we have to begin to understand, well, what are those two halachas? Why, what shaykh say, how is it possible to present such a case that chayav, yes, but different than the actual avos themselves? Hopefully, Hashem, next week, we'll try to analyze the shittas harif through the eyes of the Brisker Rav, and it'll take us really through a major discussion of a sugyan b'vakamad avov, which is going to really set the stage for much of our discussion. We're going to spend the next couple of days, a couple of shiurim, talking a lot about this idea of avos and toldos, about the relationship between them. We gave a little bit of introduction in the last day or so, just in terms of toldos and other areas of halacha, but now that we're focused, concentrating now on Ezekiel, it's going to open up our eyes for this idea of what is the relation between Avos and Toldos and Ezekiel, which is really going to set the stage at the very beginning, the base of Gimel of Masechet Bava Kamma. Next week we'll continue.